Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. It is a beautiful day, and I just am elated to have the guests that I have in the studio, Mike and Jackie Moore, and they are going to tell you where they're from because, I mean, I don't think I could say it better. So, Mike, Jackie, please tell them what you do.
Okay. I am Mike Moore, and my wife, Jackie, and I are the co-founders of the Traumatic Brain Injury Resource Center located here in Toledo. We are both native Toledoans, proud sons and daughters of Toledo, I guess you would say.
Beautiful. Do you want to add anything to that?
No, we'll let him talk for a minute.
All right. Well, my first question is, let's start at the beginning. You know, where did you guys grow up? What was your childhood like?
I'll kick it off. I grew up on the west side of Toledo in the Trilby section, kind of the area just north of Franklin Park Mall. Grew up there, went to St. Clement for grade school, went to St. Francis for high school, had a great childhood, oldest of four boys. And after graduating from high school, I went to the University of Dayton, studied chemistry there, stayed in Dayton a few years at least, and then ended up working for an automotive supplier based in Metro Detroit. While after that, ended up moving to Monroe, Michigan, and that's where I met Jackie. And together we got married in 2007, and we moved back.
Don't go that far. Don't go that far.
I'll slow down.
Okay. Okay. Enough? No. I got some more questions.
Okay.
Does Jackie want to go? You want to go now?
Yeah. Yeah. So I grew up in Toledo, East Sider. Went to Wade High School. Graduated in 1980. And basically, I have been at the University of Toledo as well, but I've lived in Toledo all of my life, in East Side, West Side. I never stray too far from home.
That's good, because you know this is the soul of the Glass City. You guys are embodying it already.
That's it.
So, where did you two exactly meet? And was it one of those love at first sight stories or more of a friendship that blossomed into a romance?
I'll take it, Mikey.
All right.
We met on Cupid.com.
Oh, man. There is hope for online dating. Yes.
Yeah, but this was 20 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, we met on Cupid.com, and I knew by date two I was going to marry him.
Oh.
It took him a while to get on board, though.
What's up with that?
Right? Ooh. I kept telling him.
Go ahead. You might as well share.
So having gone through the trials and tribulations of life, I was a little hesitant after going through a divorce.
I understand that.
To give it a little time to make sure it was right. And we've been together now 20 years, so okay. We must be doing something right.
Is Cupid.com still in existence?
I don't know.
I might need that. No. All right. Jackie, your traumatic brain injury was obviously life-changing. Can you take us back to the moment that happened and share how it shaped your perspective on recovery and everyday life?
So I was leaving work June 6th, 2011, and stopped, waiting for a school bus, and there was a small SUV in front of me, small truck behind me, and someone was texting, and they hit the truck behind me, which hit our car from behind and flew my head forward, and then they pushed me under an SUV, which snapped my head back. And I actually live every day. I'm about 15 years out, and I live every day with severe brain damage and severe damage to my neck. I could barely speak. I didn't know how to eat. I still to this day have difficulty reading, writing, counting money. I can't even go to the grocery store by myself. So I always have to have someone with me. I always have to have a guide. So he quickly became my guide dog. Mr. Mikey did.
Oh, no. He's more than that, we know.
And in 2013, did clinical trials at the National Institute of Health, and that's where we truly learned how severe my brain damage was. And they gave us all the tools we needed to improve my quality of life. And we wanted to make sure I was home. I think from there, I went through about 3 or 4 months of therapy. And I looked at Mike, and mind you, I can't read or write. I can't count money. I can't drive. And I looked at him and I said, I want to start a nonprofit because no one should have to live like this. And I want to make sure we can help everyone possible through this nonprofit. And we needed to be able to help them for free.
So even in your trauma, you wanted to help others.
Yes.
That is so wonderful.
Yes.
Mike and Jackie, you both are founders of the nonprofit that we were just speaking of, the Traumatic Brain Injury Resource Center. When that idea first started and the center came up in, you know, as a just a figment of your imagination, did you guys just instantly decide to take that leap of faith? And were there moments where you thought, can we really do this?
Every minute of every day, I still think, can we really do this? And we celebrated 11 years in April.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, poor Mikey, I woke up one day and I looked at him and I said, we're going to start a nonprofit. And he goes, yeah, really? And I said, yeah, yeah. And so we learned what we needed down at the National Institute of Health to put all the programming together. And Mike actually put everything on paper. We're both scientists by trade. So, yeah, we worked together and he put everything on paper for us and wrote the white paper. And we went from.
Oh, we didn't get to say which college you went to.
University of Toledo.
Oh, yes, yes. Yep. And then did you do, yes, he said chemistry. So what did you do?
Chemistry.
Ah, okay.
When we finally met, you could say we had chemistry.
Nice. Nice. That was just for my podcast. I already know. Thank you. And Cupid chemistry. Yeah. And Cupid. The center has grown in so many ways with therapy sessions, group activities, blanket making, and serenity sacks. How do these programs make a difference in the lives of survivors and their families? And please explain, you know, the programs and what serenity sacks is.
Yeah, sure. So Serenity Sacks are just one of the programs that we have. Early on, Jackie was looking for activities to do, and she kind of stumbled on the No Slow Fleece Blankets. And she started making those on her own as her own type of therapy. But then that became part of what we do kind of day-to-day in the center. And the initial thought was that we would create these bags that would have a blanket, maybe a toy, maybe just some activities for families that have a loved one, you know, in critical care in a hospital. And so that was kind of the start of the program. And that's what we're still doing with a lot of community support. And then the blankets and the has just really blossomed from there. So it's a great type of therapy because there's a lot of hand-eye coordination, fine motor skills. It's become a major fundraiser for us because we also have a shop at our location and we sell blankets as a fundraiser. And it's also a way that our survivors and caregivers can give back out into the community because we partner with other organizations too. So we've donated blankets through an organization, great group called Let's Build Beds. We donated blankets to first and second graders last November. Aww. At Navarre Elementary. And we've worked with other programs, too. It's also become a tool that we've used for education to high school students. So we've had high school students from 4-H programs, the Honor Societies,
Leadership
and from
Toledo.
Leadership Toledo.
Nice.
Have all come in and supported us, helping us make blankets. And at the same time, we can provide education to them.
That sounds so nice. My daughter's 5, and she has a emotional support blanket that she's had since she was born. Yes, it's named Wafa. And then when she got older, I said, what does that mean? She said, I was trying to say lava. That's what my daughter said. I was trying to say lava, but I said, you said Wafa. That's what we thought the blanket was. So I know how important a blankie is. Nutrition and daily routines play a big role in the recovery process at TBIRC. How did you discover the importance of things like protein, meal planning, hands-on activities, and how do they tie into the brain's health?
So the brain actually needs 3 components to operate optimally, and that's proper oxygenation, proper blood flow, and proper glucose. What we learned very early on, both our scientific backgrounds, is that when you put proper protein into the body, the body turns it into the healthy glucose that the brain needs. So we've actually developed a protocol that we help individuals with. Many people with brain injuries have severe fatigue. Very common. So we teach them how to feed their bodies to nourish their brains. We also have a disease-specific food pantry that we have available through the center where we help teach individuals from day one how to eat, texture size, bite size. Some people live on liquids. Many people don't even have the wherewithal to make a mac and cheese in the microwave. So we start with individuals where they're at in the recovery process and teach them how to return to life.
If I could add on to that too, you know, in our personal journey, before we founded the center, I still had to get to my day job. So I would call Jackie in the morning about 9 or 10 o'clock. And I could tell from her speech, you know, if she spoke clearly, I knew she probably had some breakfast. And if her speech was struggling, I would say, hey, did you eat anything yet? And she would not remember to eat. So in those first years, and even today, she has to eat on a clock, not on whether or not she senses she's hungry. And so it's really important for her quality of life.
Wow, I am learning so much today. So the partnerships that you guys have built, like the ones with Mercy Health, Bon Secours, to the Brain Injury Association of Ohio, how have these collaborations helped your organization reach more people and expand your impact beyond Northwestern Ohio?
So truthfully, we knew if we were going to start a nonprofit, we needed a healthcare partner because neither of us were medically based. And we needed to make sure that we would have credibility. Mercy Health stepped in with us from the very beginning and helped us in the very beginning we opened with 16 chairs and 3 tables. So we've been partnered with them for about 12 years. It also is so essential to any nonprofit success to have a course of sustainability. The Brain Injury Association of Ohio is just new to the grant features, but we've been working with them. We met with all the Ohio State people and the Brain Injury Association of Ohio before we even put the nonprofit together to find out what the community would need when they were recovering from brain injury. And truly, these partnerships mean everything. They mean everything because there's so many nonprofits and we all have a wonderful passion and everybody wants to help someone. So you have to survive, you have to have partnerships throughout the community to make sure you can sustain.
As someone that's at a nonprofit myself, we do have a lot of community partnerships.
Yeah.
It does help. While you were in the process of healing, was it hard for you to, I know it's never going to be the same, but did you ever feel like it was going to be better?
We had no idea. We had no idea. When we opened the center, I couldn't complete a kindergarten worksheet. And I could work about an hour and a half a day and I would get violently physically ill. And I am 15 years out from my injury. I'll be 64 years old and I am still improving. So new discovery for us every day. And we don't just have traumatic brain injury survivors at the center. We have long COVID. We have head and neck cancer. We have MS, we have vascular dementia, stroke, TBIs, ABIs. So we're truly a brain injury center. Anyone with neurocognitive deficits is able to come in.
I am very intrigued by all of this. Finally, for anybody listening that wants to learn more, volunteer, or access your programs, what's the best way to get in touch with the Traumatic Brain Injury Resource Center?
So one thing that we didn't touch on just really briefly is we do offer programming Tuesdays and Thursdays. And to participate, it's important to give us a call and come in for a one-on-one interview at first. That said, you can reach us at our website, which is tbirc.org. And we have a Facebook page. If you look under Facebook, TBIRC, you will find us. You got our website, you got our Facebook page. Those are probably the two best ways to to get a hold of us.
Probably the most important thing to share is that everything we offer through the center is free.
Beautiful. We are so happy to support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.